It's always a privilege to be here. Am I very far up here or something? I don't know. Okay. But it's nice to have a pulpit, by the way, as well. Some churches I go to don't have pulpits. I'm serious. So it's nice to be here. It's nice to be here. We're talking about soul winning tonight. And, you know, evangelism. And we talked this morning about evangelism. Soul winning is in the very heart of God. Go to Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3. From the very get-go, we see God going after Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3, verse 8 and 9, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" See, from the very get-go, God was always involved in reaching out, in bringing people back to himself. Amen? And that is consistent right throughout the Bible. So God was the first soul winner. Amen? And if we are to be like God or to be like Christ, we are to be soul winners. Amen? The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He goes after the lost. Amen? And that's where we are. We're in a church here, and we have a unique purpose and mission, and that's to reach the lost. Amen? Amen? If we are to impact this world for Christ, there needs to be fervent soul winning. Amen? Not just now and then, but consistent, faithful, just soul winning that just is fervent. It is in obedience to Jesus' command. Go to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28 in the New Testament. In the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." By the way, David Livingstone, that last part of the verse, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, that was his life verse. That little portion there. And he carried that into Africa. Amen? That was a promise that he stood on. Yeah. Amen? God's word is good, amen. Yes. And it says there, teaching them to observe all things. But before you can do the Great Commission, you first have to go, amen. Yes. It's as simple as that. I believe soul winning, evangelism, is just simply getting out there, amen. Yes. I mean, there's teaching involved, there's learning involved, but it's a matter of just getting out there. Yes. It's where you become, not just on a Saturday, but 24/7 type Christianity. Where there's a desire every time you see people. And if you are to go, if you are to purpose in your heart to go and to reach the lost, that means as often as you can, amen? As often as you can. That means leaving your comfort zone. Hey, we as Christians, we like our comfort zone, don't we? Amen? But Christianity is supposed to be reaching out. It also means making a sacrifice. Every time you go soul winning, every time you say, okay, the shopping's going to have to wait till Saturday evening, I have to go soul winning Saturday morning, amen? It takes sacrifice. It's going to cost you something, amen? But the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Unless we're obedient to the high call of the Great Commission, we will, as a church, we will stagnate and die. Unless you're reaching out, you're going to die, amen? Because that's what God purposes in his word. The church is not supposed to have an inward focus. It's supposed to have an outward focus, amen, to reach out to this world. Many churches are dead today because somewhere along the line, they've forgotten the world around them. Believe it or not, churches get inwardly focused and they forget about a lost and dying world that's heading for hell. As Christians, we have the answer for the souls of men. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel, in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, and the souls of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But we as Christians, we have the answer. We have a book that gives us the answer. Amen? The problem with Ireland today is not a recessionary problem. Do you realize that? The problem with Ireland today is not the recession. It's not the economic downturn. The problem is sin. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs And let me tell you, Ireland is getting more and more into sin. Proverbs 14 in verse 34. Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Man, the sin that's going on in Ireland today, it's not going to be solved by more money, by different plans of the government. It's going to be resolved by people getting a burden for souls and bringing them to Christ. Amen. Go to Psalms. Go to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms 9 verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. When you forget God, God turns his back away from you. Because the consequences of rejecting a holy God is God has to let you do your own thing. And as a nation, as Ireland has gone away into the way of the world and the way of just letting everything go, man, sin creeps in. Ireland gets further and further away from the understanding of a holy God. You know, so it says there in Romans chapter 1, it says their understanding was darkened. And that's what's happening with Ireland today. You know, you knock on doors today, you try to tell people about Christ, and they look at you blind. It's like they cannot see. And the more they get into sin, the more they get into that darkness, the more blind they get. And we as soul winners, we as the light of this world, have to try to reach out to them, amen? Yeah. Have a burden for them, amen? Have a burden. The Christian is referred to in the Bible as the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? We as Christians, we're supposed to be salty. We're supposed to be the salt of this earth. The Christian is referred as the light of the world. Men today, though, love darkness and their deeds are evil. So when you go soul winning, when you reach out to that workmate or someone you're reaching out to, they're in darkness. And they like their darkness, amen? So you have to reach them. You have to try to stir them up. Give them scripture. Give them something that will make them hungry. Amen. Let me also say this. Unless we are out there knocking on doors, handing out leaflets, unless we're doing something to reach out to the lost, it's not going to get done. Amen. Yeah. It's not going to get done. You know, it's not a... The government is not going to do it. The Catholic Church is not going to do it. It's not going to get done. Because we're the only light. In churches of like-minded like this, yes. Christian, born-again Christians who are just very few in Ireland, we're the only light in this world and in Ireland. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, please bless this message. Please teach us from your words. Please give me liberty, Lord. Oh God, I pray you would just help me. I pray my words would be clear. I pray you would just put thoughts and you would just use your Holy Spirit just to convict and motivate the people in this room, and ask this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. The message tonight is called The Duty of the Soul Winner, The Duty of Evangelism, The Duty of Evangelism. You know, we often consider evangelism as something nice to do, or even needful to do, but we seldom consider it as a duty. Do you understand that? According to the Bible, it's our duty. According to Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's our reasonable service. Amen? Evangelism. Let me show you the overall purpose. The overall purpose of why God put you upon this earth is, go to Revelation chapter 4, please. If you were to ask a theologian, what's the purpose of man? He would bring you to this verse. Revelation 4 and verse 11, it says this: Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So the purpose of mankind, the purpose of you, is to bring glory to God, amen? But how can you bring glory to God unless you have a burden for souls? Do you understand that? How can we as Christians say we're bringing glory to God if we don't have a burden for souls in our hearts? You need to have a burden for souls. You need to ask God to burden you for souls. Those around you. Those around you you meet daily. I'm talking about people that you know and you've seen and you've presented, you've tried and you've failed. It's time to try again, amen? It's time to try again. God pulled you up out of the miry clay to save you from hell. He saved me from hell by pulling me up out of the horrible pit, putting my feet upon the solid rock. But now He's a purpose and plan for me, amen? He's got a purpose and plan for each and every single person in this room. And that purpose is to reach out, amen? God puts you in a church. He puts you in a local New Testament church for the purpose of you reaching out. God equips you. God has equipped you with the Word of God. And this church, we know a lot of Bible knowledge in this church. Amen? Our pastor is a great teacher. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I appreciate Bible-believing teaching of the Word of God. But what good is all the knowledge in the world if we don't reach out? Amen? If we don't stir up our heart and say, I've got to do something in this life. I've got to reach out to my fellow man. God is equipping you for the purpose of reaching out. Let me ask this question. Why was the Dead Sea dead? Because there was no outlet. The same way with Christians. Man, why do churches die? Because there's no outlet. There's got to be an outlet. The focus of everything that happens in this church should be to reach the lost. Amen? To reach the lost. Christians become dead, churches become dead when there is no outlet. Let me give you the statement. Bible knowledge without a burden for souls makes you into a hypocritical Pharisee. Bible knowledge without a burden for souls makes you a hypocritical Pharisee. You're just a religious, know-it-all religious knowledge, but once there's no reaching out, you become like a Pharisee. Isn't that true? It's true in my life. If I learn something in this Bible and I don't apply it in my life, it becomes dead knowledge. I'm better off if I had never learned it, because I'm going to be judged one day for the stuff I know. God places you in a certain work environment for the purpose of reaching out. And I've seen this in my workplace. I've seen people come into my workplace, and then God was already working on them. And God was now using me to further reach that person for Christ. I've seen God just bring in people, and they were just ready. They had been worked on previously. So God brings people into your life for the purpose of you witnessing to them, amen? They don't come there by accident. God brings them there for you. And don't get this idea that evangelism is every Saturday. It's not. It's supposed to be 24/7, amen? It's supposed to be where you just get excited and you say, it's supposed to be all the time. You know, there are opportunities everywhere you go because there's people everywhere you go. Think about that for a second. There is opportunity everywhere you go because there's people everywhere you go. The petrol station, the local shop, the repairman that comes to your house. That's an opportunity. That's an opportunity right there. The pizza delivery guy. You can think of opportunity upon opportunity. There's opportunities everywhere because there's people everywhere. And there's people that are crying out. You know, people, this world puts on a good act, but it's just an act. People inside need to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, only hope. And the only reason as Christians for us being here is to give them the good news of the gospel, amen? And let me show you the greatest need today. Go to Matthew chapter 9, the greatest need. You know, I'm sure in the context of Matthew chapter 9, this for Jesus was probably a very busy day. A lot was going on that day. It seems that he deals with the Pharisees, he deals with Jairus' daughter, he deals with a lot of other circumstances. And it seems, and I like what it says in verse 36, chapter 9, verse 36 in Matthew, it says, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." You know, it's not until you see the multitude. Do you know where you get your burden for souls? It's good to learn about evangelism, amen? About how to do it, about Romans Road, about learning key verses in the Bible. It's good to do all that. But you know how you get your burden for souls? By going out there. Knocking on doors. And usually if I've got someone with me, I usually let that person go first because by just being with that person, by letting that person witness to that other person, you just get burden in your heart, man. There's just a hunger or a burden in your heart goes that you want to just witness that person as well. So the way you get a burden is by going out there and doing it, amen. Going out there and doing it. The greatest need today, though, the greatest need is the gospel. It's the need of the church. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke. By the way, that's the name of my baby boy. We have a... Someone gave us this baby grow. It says, "The world's cutest alarm clock." Luke chapter 19. Luke 19 in verse... Verse 12, he said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." And the idea of occupying till I come is to get busy, amen? It's the church needs to get busy today, amen, to reach out to this world. There's a slumber, especially in the latter days, in the end days, I believe we're living in, and there's a slumber upon Christianity today. There's a slumber. There's a lukewarmness, and the church's greatest need today is to reach out, is to get busy in winning souls. It's the need of the church. The focus of a vibrant church should be outwardly, outwardly. I believe this with all my heart. Every ministry within this church needs to have outward focus. Think about that for a second. Sunday school. The focus of those Sunday school kids, what they need to hear is there's a lost and dying world out there, amen? And they can make a difference. Right. Untold millions outside the fold. Untold millions are still untold. Amen? Imagine a boy or girl just getting a hold of that song, that message. Or be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way. Just getting a hold of that truth. Getting it deep in your heart. And believing that. What a difference you can make as a little boy or a little girl in this world. Amen. I'm glad for Sunday school. And the focus is out there. Amen. Even the book ministry. The reason the book ministry is there is to equip you. Amen. So that you can reach out. So you can give an answer to the Jehovah's Witness. The Mormons. That's what... the book ministry is, the welcome ministry. And the reason why you welcome, the welcome ministry is there, is to encourage you, to edify you, amen, to build you up so that you can get out there, amen, and reach this world for Christ. The transport ministry. You know, in the States, they're bus ministries, and they go around picking up all different kids, bringing them in. But it's the idea of reaching out into that world, amen. The music ministry. Any ministry should have an outward focus, amen. Even the creche. The reason why the creche is there is so you can be equipped, you can be edified, you don't have screaming kids beside you, and you can be edified and equipped so that you can have the Bible knowledge to get out there, amen. The outward focus. If all you have is an internal focus as a church, you will die. Amen. I can tell you, if this church didn't believe in missions, we would be a dead church. Amen. If any church, you can look at any Bible-believing Baptist church, if they don't believe in missions, if they don't believe that missions makes a difference, they're going to die. And that's where most churches are today. If all you have is an internal focus, you will die. That's why I believe Calvinism is deadly. You know why? Because Calvinism removes the responsibility of the believer. It takes the responsibility away from the born-again Christian and says, well, they're going to come in anyway. That's not true. That's not true. Calvinism is deadly. I've seen it over in the UK where churches believe in this thing called Calvinism. They believe they're the elect. They believe they're in total depravity and all that. And they die. They die. So we need to have an understanding that we have the answers and we're supposed to get out there. Amen. And then there's a need of this world. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. There's a need of this world. Proverbs 14. In verse 13. And please read this verse very carefully. It says this: even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of mirth is heaviness. So even when someone is laughing on the outside, you know, you might meet your workmate, and he's laughing, you know, he'll tell you he had a great weekend, you know, boozing and stuff, had a great weekend. But if he's really honest with you, even in all that laughter, he's sorrowful inside. He puts on a good show, amen. He puts on a good pretense. But it's all fake. They're trying to cover things up. That's why alcohol and drink and drugs and entertainment of this world, all the different things, all the video games they have in this world, it's all for escapism to pretend like that emptiness isn't there, but that emptiness is there. There's a great need of this world. The world is good at pretending. Pretending, and there's an emptiness that has never been filled, a longing for a hope beyond the grave. You know, everybody, before I was saved, there was just a longing in my life for I knew something was missing inside. I knew there was something that was missing. And there was a fear of the unknown, a fear of the unknown as they pass from this world. You know, I've been at a lot of funerals. And just yesterday, I was passing up Carrigaline. There was a hearse coming against me. You know, you wonder. I wonder if anyone told them of the gospel. You know, I wonder if. See, you don't know when you could knock on doors. You don't know if that could be the last time you talk to a person. Do you realize this is serious business? This is what the church was involved with. Amen. I knocked on one door one time, and this lady told me she was suicidal, and she had tried suicide, and it failed. So you just don't know what door you knock on. You just don't know. This world tries to fill the void by all kinds of means, but it leaves them empty. It leaves them blinded from the truth. It leaves them deceived. You know, if a person dies without Christ, I was thinking of this, if a person dies without Christ, the first conscious thought they will have when they step into eternity was, I have been deceived. Do you realize that? When a person dies, when the unsaved person dies, and he steps into eternity, he realizes for the first time, I've been deceived. All of this life was fake. And then the second thought that that person might have is, nobody told me. And that's the emphasis upon us, amen? That's the emphasis upon us. And then in shock horror, they will realize that this weeping and gnashing of teeth, the outer darkness, the fire and brimstone, will go on forever and ever and ever. It's too late once a person dies, amen? And as a Christian, we can pass that graveyard and say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? We have eternal life, amen? They don't. They're lost. They're blind. It takes a Christian with a bit of light, with a bit of care, a bit of compassion to make a difference, amen? It's amazing. But people don't grasp this idea of eternity, of forever and ever and ever and ever. 10,000 years, that person will still be in hell. And you can put any length of time, that person will be in hell. And that's where the burden for souls gets, amen? That's what motivates missions. That's what motivates a soul winner. That's what motivates us, amen? Seeing people dropping off into hell. I loved Brother Dan's message this morning. I just want to emphasize one little thing that is so important. Sometimes we read the Bible and we read it, but we read knowledge. We don't personalize it. And it is so necessary to do. Because Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now you can put your own name in there, and it could read Mark 15, and he said unto Bill, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can personalize it, amen? And when you personalize it, it becomes real. And okay, Bill's not going to go and reach the whole world, but he can support missionaries that will go and reach the world, amen? I love the idea of the New Testament church. You know, you can support, as a New Testament church, you can support missions, and they are working on your behalf on the far, far parts of this world. Amen? It is so cool, missions. It is a high calling, though, to personalize that requirement for every born-again Christian. The Great Commission is a command, amen? You know, it's a command that we're supposed to obey. It is a debt that we owe to a lost world. Go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. We need to have them, the understanding that Paul has. Paul saw him as a debtor. And that motivated him through his life. Romans 1 and verse 14. And Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. Hey, I have a debt to pay to this world, and that is to reach, to do my best to be a soul winner, amen? I'm glad that someone told me the gospel, amen? I'm glad someone had a burden for New York City, because I got saved in New York City. And someone, in order for me to be reached in New York City, pastor by the name of Pastor Alan Davis from a different part of the States, Tennessee, had to get supported to go to New York City where he outreached to me. You see how it works? So a church way back in Tennessee sent him out to be a missionary in New York City. And he was a funny character. You know, God must have a sense of humor, because God put this hillbilly in the middle of New York City, and he stuck out like a sore thumb. So God must have a sense of humor. But he's doing a great work there, amen? And he's only ever had a church maybe about 50 people, but it's a transient type of church. People come and people go. But he's a faithful man. And he knocks on 500 doors a week. That's his goal. He has set out some goals, and that's his goal, to knock on at least 500 doors per week. So he's a faithful man there in New York City, and he's a soul winner, amen. And let me also say this, in the high calling, it is sin to ignore the great command, the great commission. It's sin. If we don't obey, if we don't obey the clear message, the command of God to go and to reach this world, to do our best to be soul winners, to be a light in this world, it's sin. Yes. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. I remember two, three years ago, I was standing in a video store, Extra Vision or something like that. But anyway, God burdened my heart. God just smote my heart, said, "You need to witness to this guy behind the counter." And at the time, I didn't have a gospel leaflet on me. And I remember walking away from that and just my heart going, my heart was grieved inside of me. And it was like the still small voice went and said, "You just missed an opportunity. You just missed an opportunity. Be careful, Christian. You don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God." I believe we're living in a day and age where Christians are not very sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. In the time of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, back in those days, they had a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, where they were afraid to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to be careful, because I believe when you don't go soul winning, when you don't reach out, when the Lord is trying to tell you, you need to witness that person that put in your way for the purpose of reaching that person, and when you don't go and try to at least attempt to witness that person, I believe you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it robs you of the joy of your salvation. Hey, you will never know the joy of your salvation unless you go knocking on doors, amen? Unless you go soul winning. You will never know the fullness of the joy that salvation message brings. You know, sometimes you're there and you're sharing your testimony, and it's more of a blessing to me than it is the person listening. Because I get so excited when I'm sharing my testimony, and I go back to the 2nd of October, 1992, and it refreshes my whole mind again. I go, wow. Unless you're an active soul winner, unless you're trying to reach out and witness this world, you lose the joy of your salvation. It's not there. And let me just say this. If you don't have the joy of your salvation, just go soul winning. Amen? Yes. Just go soul winning. Yes. Just get out there and knock on some doors and just go soul winning. I was thinking this is kind of crazy. But I was thinking if you had a fight with your wife. Just say if you had a... I know no one has a fight with their wives, but if you had a fight with your wife, just go soul winning. Amen? It will restore the joy of your salvation. Amen? That's why Dan is a great soul winner. Amen? Amen. It is a high privilege to proclaim. It is a high privilege to proclaim. The way you become an effective soul winner is not so much in the classroom, even though the classroom is necessary, but it's just going out there and doing it. Amen. Going out there and doing it. God will teach you. God will lead you. Amen. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And it's telling people of the greatest love story that has ever been told. Amen. You get out there, you knock on doors, or you're telling someone, you're telling the greatest love story that's ever been told. Hollywood hasn't come up with anything that can match it. It's the greatest love story ever been told. One verse that stirred my heart up when I got saved was, "Greater love of no man to lay down his life for his friends." Amen? He did it for you and for me. And that message should be fresh in your mind, like it was in your salvation, amen. It should be fresh, all new in your life, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. And it's the only means of salvation. Without this, this world goes to hell. And let me show you, fourthly, the church's responsibility. 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. When it comes to the duty of evangelism, We need to talk about the church's responsibility because we are responsible. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. The idea is that there's coming a judgment day, amen? There's coming a judgment day. And we as Christians, we are responsible. That's why a lot of churches come up with this idea that, well, God brings them in anyway. He doesn't. We are responsible, amen? God didn't entrust the saving of this world to the angels or the cherubims. He entrusted it to you and I. Amen? He entrusted it to the Christians, to the church of this age. And we are responsible. We're responsible to pray for this world. Amen? Go to Matthew chapter... Oh no, don't go there. Let me read Matthew 9 verse 38. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. When it comes to evangelism, when it comes to soul winning, prayer is the backbone, amen? Prayer is everything. When we go out, and we go out on a Saturday, and when we try to get out there, and when we try to go out there on our own at times, prayer is the key, amen? Praying. God answers prayer. You know, small groups. I'm thinking on a Wednesday night, all I have is a small group. But I believe that small group is more important than anything else going on in Ireland as regards to the government, or anything like that. God hears the humble cry of just a small group of people praying. The Bible says, when two or three are gathered together, there is Jesus in the midst of them. Amen? That encourages my heart to realize that just a small group, but Jesus is there. Amen? Pray. Pray for this world. Amen? Pray that God would stir you up to be a soul winner. Pray that you could reach out. Pray that God would just burden you. Give you a greater burden than the burden you currently have. Amen? I believe that. I believe that you might think you have a burden for souls, but wouldn't you like to have a greater burden? Amen? Amen. You know, it says about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. Let's just go there. Jeremiah chapter 9. The idea of being a soul winner, and the essential qualification for a soul winner, is a burden for the lost, amen? Just a crying burden for the lost. Jeremiah says, the weeping prophet, in Jeremiah 9 verse 1, oh that my head were waters of mine eyes, a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the doors of my people. Jeremiah had a burden. Jeremiah had a burden in his heart, a deep burden. And let me say this, I think it was far deeper than any New Testament saint living today. Man, I think we need to have a burden, and God needs to increase our burden to see people as God sees them. Amen? When you read the Bible, you get the mind of Christ in you, and you can't help but think of people as souls. Amen? Destined for either heaven or hell. Pray for this world. Amen? Pray to be a light in this world. Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom he shines lights in this world. You know, the darker this world gets, the brighter the light the Christian should be. Amen? The brighter the light of the Christian should be. This world shouldn't be dark, and we shouldn't be hiding away. We should be shining as a bright light. Because when you go into a dark room and you have a light, it lights it up. Amen? And that's what a Christian is supposed to be. We're supposed to be a light, a bright and shining light. Even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom he shines lights in this world. Amen? The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and this whole world light in wickedness. And we're responsible as Christians, as this church, to warn this world. You know, whether or not they will listen, let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20 in verse 26. And this is the great apostle Paul here. A man I love, his burden for souls. Notice what it says in verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Man, I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have a clear conscience toward God and say, well, maybe I've messed up in the past, but I'm not going to mess up in the future, amen? I'm not going to let him get away. I'm going to be a zealous soul winner. I'm going to have just a desire, just God burden me for souls, amen? To be a light in this world, amen? To warn this world. Sometimes we look for results when we soul win. But you know, God just says, go out there and warn them. Amen? just go there and warn them. Go to Ezekiel chapter 3. God has called each of us to be watchmen and women. Ezekiel. Sometimes in soul winning, you may not get much results. But it's still right to go out there and do it. Amen? Ezekiel 3. And verse 17. And this is what he's saying to the son of man here, Ezekiel. But he's also saying it to you and I, amen? We have to personalize scripture. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. That ought to stir up some fear of God in our lives, amen? And it goes on there in verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So, you know, the thing here is, we need to warn the wicked, amen? We may go out there, you may tell your workmate, or your work colleague, you may tell him the gospel, and he might laugh at you. But at least you warned him, amen? Yeah. At least you warned him. And as Christians, we need to warn the wicked, amen? Tell them there's only heaven and hell, and there's only two choices at the end of the day. Warn the wicked, amen? It is nice when people respond to the gospel, amen? It's nice when people even make a decision for Christ. But when nothing happens, it's still worth it. It's still worth it. It's worth going to a door. And recently, I think it was with Barry, but we went to a door, knocked on the door, and this guy opened, he said, get lost. Get lost. First time it ever happened to me. I didn't even have a word out of my mouth. He just said, get lost. I was there, okay. But at least I try to warn him. At least I try to warn him. And it's still worth going out there, amen? Even if you get a closed door, even if they don't want anything to do with you, it's still worth it, amen? And because the church is responsible, because judgment begins first on the church. Man, there's certain verses of the Bible that grip my heart in fear, and this is one of those verses. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Man, there's a warning there for the Christian, amen? You know, I truly believe that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be far more severe than we think. I know we're not going to get judged for our works or for our sin. Excuse me. I know we're not going to get judged for our sin. Our sin is being paid for past, present, and future. Amen. That's wonderful. But we're going to get judged for our works. Amen. And the Bible says, and it's talking to the Christian, Let me just show it to you, actually. Let me show it to you. It's in Hebrews. It's talking to the Christian here in Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 31. I want you to see just a little of the context here. 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's talking to Christians because it says there in verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance is mine unto me, I will recompense, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So it's talking to the Christian, amen. And it says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. See, we think that we seldom think of the judgment seat of Christ. But it's worth thinking about it, amen? Because it's going to be a fearful thing. And we need to understand it doesn't have to be a fearful thing, but it will be if we don't obey this book, amen? And then Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 29. Again, it's talking to the Christian here. It says in verse 28, wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then it goes and says, for our God is a consuming fire. Talking to the Christian, amen. And that's what happens. That's our responsibility, amen. Hey, this world is blind. Do you understand that? Before you were saved, you were blind. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. I remember as an unsaved person, flicking through a radio station and coming across J. Vernon McGee. He's a preacher over in the States. But he was preaching on this very verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4. I remember for the first time understanding that the devil was the god of this world. You see, my mind was blind. I couldn't see. This world is beguiled. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. This world is beguiled or fooled. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. And this is talking about speaking of false teachers and their followers. See, there's a lot of false teachers in this world. A lot of people believe in evolution. A lot of people believe in different things and it leads them to astray. But notice what it says here in verse 12. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own destruction, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that account it pleasure to write in the day, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. But verse 14 is just a powerful verse. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart that they have exercised with covetousness, practicing cursed children. That's what this world is. They're beguiled. They're deceived. They're deceived. And they don't know what we know. Amen? They don't know the clear message. But we do. We're not fooled. We know it. We know there's a devil. We know that this world is deceived. And we're supposed to reach out to them. Amen? So that's why I believe judgment begins at the house of God. It begins with you and me. Hey, the greatest thing you'll ever do in your Christian life is fear God. Amen? The greatest thing you'll ever do in your Christian life is to fear God. Just fear Him. Man, just let Him get up. You know, He could stop your heartbeat at any one second, but He keeps your heartbeat beating. Amen? He gives you another opportunity. He gives you another day. But the greatest thing you'll ever do is fear Him. And the second greatest thing you'll ever do is keep fearing Him. Amen. Keep fearing Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Hey, when this message, when a message gets preached, you've only two choices. You can soften your heart or you can harden your heart. There's only two choices. And sometimes, man, the word gets preached and it gets uncomfortable. And you think, am I really responsible for a lost and dying world out there? And the Bible says you are. You're responsible. I'm responsible. We're responsible to this world. And one day I'm going to be judged for what I do with what the knowledge I have. Amen? Let me give you a conclusion. The first soul winner was God. Amen? It was God. And then in the New Testament, the Bible says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? If you read the Bible and you get the mind of Christ, it will burden you for souls. Amen? It will just naturally burden you for souls. You will just get a burden for souls. And as you get out there and you knock on doors or you reach out, you go to the petrol station, you go to anywhere, the shopping mall, anywhere. Sorry, there's no shopping malls in Ireland. Shopping centre. You can't help but get a burden for souls, amen? God just puts a hunger there and a burden there for souls. Hey, what's the value of just one soul, amen? And what if that soul was you? What would be the value of it? See, a soul is eternal. And one day that soul is either going to go to heaven or hell. And the message of the gospel is so powerful and so life transforming that we need to understand it needs to get out there, amen? It needs to come through my lips, amen? I don't pray, Lord, send someone to witness to my neighbor. I don't pray like that. I pray, Lord, send me to go to my neighbor, amen? You know, it's hard when you have neighbors and it's like they know you. They know your kids. It's kind of hard. But if we are Christian, if we want to put the name Christian upon us, we have to be able to go and tell every creature, amen, including our nearest neighbor, amen. Soul winning is a high privilege, but it's also our duty, amen. It's our duty. It's our reasonable service, amen. It's our reasonable service. It is our overall purpose for being here, amen. God put us here, and God put us in the church for the purpose of reaching out. Amen? It is this world's greatest need. There is no greater need that mankind can have but the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the high calling that we are given. There is no greater high calling than going telling people about the saving message of Jesus Christ. How God can transform your life. How God can save you. How God can bring you up out of the miry clay. God can put your feet upon a rock. God can establish your goings. There's no greater message than that. It is life-changing. One of my key verses is Colossians 1:13, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. What a kingdom it is. Amen. And what one day will be. Amen. And it is the church's responsibility at the end of the day. It is the church that gets judged first. It's you and I that face the judgment seat of Christ first and foremost. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Amen? And let me give you a challenge. Pray that God would use you to win a soul for Christ. Amen? This year. Pray that God would put someone. Pray before you leave the house in the morning that God would send someone your way so that you could witness to. Amen? I'm serious. Pray tomorrow morning that God would send someone your way so you may stumble over the words. You may not be able to get those words out properly. You may not know a whole lot of scripture, but pray that God would send someone so that you would attempt to witness that person. Amen? And let me just give you another challenge. Commit to memory some key verses of salvation. The Romans Road, things like that. Just put them into your memory. And then challenge number 3. carry gospel tracts. Amen. I'm serious. There's a story called about Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort is a guy of the Way of the Master. And he said, he challenged everybody. He said, I want you to carry gospel leaflets. And he says, you know, if you ever catch me without a gospel leaflet, I will give you so much money or something. I'm not sure what he said. But he said, I will give you some reward if you catch me not carrying a gospel leaflet. Well, Ray Comfort's in a swimming pool one day. And this, he has these wet togs on him, you know. And this woman comes along and says, hey, I got you without a gospel leaflet. And he reaches in, he pulls out a money, says, gospel leaflet. But it just shows you. It just shows you. Man, we need to get serious about carrying gospel leaflets. We have so much gospel leaflets, so much salvation. We're so equipped, yet we're afraid to give it out. And it's a sad result. And what I'm trying to say is, if we're afraid to give out the gospel, we will die as individuals and we'll die as a church. Because that's the very heartbeat of God. And God wants to get into the very core of your being, where He changes you, where you become a soul winner. Amen? Even if you don't get results, you just start telling people about Jesus. It just comes naturally. It just flows out naturally. Amen? God can do that. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. Amen? The better you get at it. And it's just taking a message, a simple message, and telling it to the world. And God will respect that. And God will use that. Let me show you one last scripture. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. This is a great Apostle Paul here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, who knew all, I mean, he was probably one of the most academic men of his days. And he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of a wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was Paul's whole goal, amen. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And then he says about his speech, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. As you sow in, as you witness, God gives you the power. Amen. You just yield yourself to Him and say, God, I want to be a clean vessel. I want to be used of you. And God just gives you the power of His Word. Amen. To be able to witness that person. God is faithful. We just have to be able to, willing to go, be willing servants to go and to preach the Word. Just to get out there. Hey, even make a fool of yourself. I heard this one, before I was saved, just give you this one last illustration. Before I was saved, I came across a guy in New York City, and he had to get a sandwich board. You know what a sandwich board is? On one side, it said, I'm a fool for Christ. And I looked at this guy. I said, how in the world could someone wear that publicly? And I began to snigger and laugh at him. But then, on the back of the board, it said, whose fool are you? And it made me think, if someone was willing to go to that extent to stir someone like me up, man, there must be some truth in this book, amen? There must be some truth in salvation. Let's just bow our heads. Oh, Father God, please help us, we pray. Please help us. I thank you for this great church. And I thank you for God's people tonight. And I pray, God, you'd stir me up, God. Father, I become dry. I don't want to. So please stir me up first and foremost. God, I pray you send revival. And let it begin with me. Please help us, we pray. And let us not just be at church, but let us come away with church with the understanding that you've changed us. Please help us now, we pray. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Brother Dan.